This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How are you today? As we get you on a Monday, the Sweet 16 in the books, the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, I should say, in the books to get us into the Sweet 16. Glad to be here with you, Jacob Albrock. Tommy Caster is out sick, a late scratch this morning, but we're going to get Paul Savage in here soon to help out. We'll have some other fun stuff for you in store as we're all, you know, just a little bit tired after the great tournament that Wichita put on in the NCAA opening rounds. It was an incredible show here at this regional that saw a couple of teams advance out of the Big 12, Texas Tech and Houston. That's kind of how we drew it up, right? It was a really, really fun weekend, though. We were happy to be out there live, hanging out with a lot of you, saying hi to a lot of you. So just a really cool weekend, and we'll recap all of it. We'll get you ready for the Sweet 16 as well. Talk about some of the other stuff that's been happening around the country in the NCAA tournament. Heard a lot of chatter, I think it's fake that people are like, oh, maybe this tournament hasn't been as good. I think the tournament's been fine. I think the games have been good. You had a controversial buzzer beater yesterday. Did he travel? Did he not travel? You know, I don't know that there haven't been as many Cinderellas, I think. And maybe that's what's doing it for people as we look at a Sweet 16 that we'll dig into. That is, you know, there are not a lot of big numbers out there. One double-digit seed, and it's a team coached by John Calipari out of the SEC. So no real true Cinderellas in this tournament. And you know, for me, who had a lot of chalk in the bracket, you feel pretty good about that, I think, if you're just going through and looking at this by bracket. So we'll get into all of that today. The K-State women still dancing onto the Sweet 16 after a road win against Kentucky yesterday, which was nice to see. That was you want to talk about a thriller. That game was intense. Overtime. So they get it done yesterday. Just so much good stuff. So much good basketball. We get the start of Major League Baseball this week. The Royals with some spooky injury news that we honestly should get an update on Vinny Pasquantino. At some point, I would betcha that it happens while we're on the air today. He came up a little lame on a hamstring, and he's acting like he's okay. We do not have the official word from the Royals yet. It's a strain. So I'll be very surprised if it's like no time missed, but we'll get the latest on him. They didn't give us the update late last night. I do suspect that will come at some point this morning. So we'll have that for you, Royals fans. We're going to, of course, give away some HTO here on the program today, as we do each and every day. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win some HTO. By the way, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. We need it. We need it a little bit. It was a long weekend. It was. I went out. Of course, we did the shows Thursday and Friday. I was there all day Thursday from 6:30 in the morning. I didn't make it all the way through the Tech game, which was the last game played. But I made it through most of the day. And then we turn around Friday. We do another show out there live for 4 hours. And then I went back out, glutton for punishment, I suppose, Saturday, just as a fan, right? Just went back out Saturday. I was going to watch some games. I was going to try and catch a game with my wife, and I couldn't get tickets, which was great to see. I mean, as bummed as we were to not go to the games, you couldn't get tickets. Unless you wanted to spend hundreds of dollars in the nosebleeds. That's so cool for the city of Wichita. Not just at the party. Listen, the party. Now, you had 2018 was as cool as I can remember a tournament site ever being. And we said this on the air Thursday or Friday. That was almost like it was like guerrilla style, right? Like we just knew we were there to party and everybody showed up and Kansas was here and they were selling out practice and there were people all over the streets and some, you know, street vendors showed up and you had some tables. It was great. It was a blast. Well, this time, it was like organized chaos. I'm telling you, like, if you didn't make it down there, you missed out. You had about four different areas around the arena in Old Town that were just packed full of people. And, you know, on the first day, you're like, oh, look at all these visiting fans. Everything's great. It's Thursday. And then you get to Saturday. Half the teams are eliminated. And you're walking around. I got down there. Games didn't start until 5. I think we got down there about 2, probably. Took the kids. Weather didn't really cooperate on Saturday, but it didn't matter. It was packed. And I'm like, this is fantastic. You know, all these fans stuck around. You got the sense that it was a lot of just local people down there to hang out. Well, then the game started, and it was still packed out there, which means you had all those people go in, and you still had tons and tons of people out there. It was really, really cool. Very proud of the community. Very proud of anybody and everybody who went at the base level. Anybody and everybody who had anything to do with organizing that party. And anybody and everybody that had to do with putting it out there and running a business and doing that and working it and being a part of the fun. That's the kind of thing that, A, gets the tournament back here. But not just that, that gets like when Wichita wants anything now, you put that on tape and you submit it and you say, all right, why don't you come on to Wichita? Like, we're going to show you a party. Like, if you come here, we'll support you. And we do it all the time, all the time. Wichita shows up, especially if it's basketball related. This is state of Kentucky, state of North Carolina, step aside. State of Kansas is where it's at for college basketball. So just very, very fun. Thank you to everybody who came and said hello. Thanks to everybody who, you know, stopped by, hung out a little bit, talked shop, talked brackets, talked bets, whatever it was that you did with us. We really, really appreciate it. We were so happy to be able to be there. Shout out to the entire Odyssey crew for being there and having fun. Shout out to my 12 News crew and family for being there and all the great work that they did, and Brandon and TJ and Rachel, and getting all of those games covered. It was a lot of fun to be a part of, even if a small part, and I'm very, very proud of everybody involved. That's where I wanted to start today, because it just doesn't get any better. And you just like, I wasn't the only one who lives here and was just walking around, just like smiling. Like, this is so cool. This is so cool for our community. We knew you'd show up and you did. So give yourself a pat on the back, maybe as you're having a couple extra cups of coffee this morning to try and recover from a long weekend. Thank goodness it was Thursday, Saturday, right? Friday, Sunday, it'd be a little tight turn for us here this morning. We did have great games here as well. Both the games on Saturday were a lot of fun. Tech Drake delivered like we thought it would. Tech was able to pull away a little bit in the end, but that game was pretty close. And then Houston and Gonzaga, that game stayed tight, wire to wire. That game was close all the way through, and Houston pulls it out. Everybody's bracket's doing okay here. If you were chalky, probably so. There's only one 2 seed gone, and that's about it. St. John's went down. You've got threes all over the place. Iowa State fell last night, unfortunately. The fours are doing pretty good. Arizona pulled off a miracle last night against Oregon, but it's chalky. Does that bother you? It doesn't bother me. These are really good teams left. We'll be back. We'll talk more about the bracket and all of it as we make our way through. Jacob Albrock here with you. We'll have Paul Savage in just a little bit. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, is going to come in and talk some K-State women with us. Having some fun on a Monday. Don't go away at Sports Day. Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Jacob Albrecht. Paul Savage will be in just a bit. Tommy, called a late scratch here this morning. So we are making a shift there. We'll get Paul in here. We'll have Wyatt Thompson in about an hour from now. He'll come in to talk to K-State women. Who have advanced to the Sweet. They got healthy. They didn't get to that point last year. It was a little disappointing. I know they felt shorted a little bit last year, but they are on to the Sweet 16. So we'll talk to Wyatt Thompson about that. We'll get you all caught up. We're still waiting on this news for Vinny Pasquantino, who strained his hamstring. He says he's okay. Well, I don't know what okay means. The Royals evaluated yesterday, and we've got to wait and see. I got to tell you, like, this is sort of what we worried about with the Royals, right? They've got to be healthy. We love their lineup. We love everything they've got going, but they got to be healthy. And this is a little bit troubling way to start, considering Vinny had the injury last year, and it was off to a bit of a slow start last year. So we're going to keep our eye on that. Hopefully the news is good news. Hopefully he can play through it. But I think in a more realistic scenario, maybe he just has a brief stay and misses a week or so as they take that thing extra careful. They are top heavy, but they are very good at that top heavy. Let's talk a little bit about the tournament, what we saw over the weekend. I think we start with a bird's eye look at this thing so far. I want to say there are a contention of people out there that are trying to create something that isn't there. Like, I'm seeing this narrative trying to form about, well, this tournament's not been very exciting. And I just don't agree. I think this tournament has been what we expected it to be, quite honestly. The one thing it has lacked is like true buzzer beater down to the wire moments. We've had a few. You had one yesterday in Maryland against Colorado State and Queen, and that final shot, which, while impressive, I think was a travel, but that game ended really well. That region got both of them because you had Florida and UConn in the first game of the day, which was just a fantastic game on Sunday. If you want a complaint from me out of the NCAA tournament, especially now that we wake up earlier to do this show, why on the Saturday and the Sunday do we put games by themselves at like 11 and 1:30? Why do we need to be up until 11 p.m. watching Arizona yesterday? Slide the games up. Get those games finished by 8 o'clock at night. There's no reason not to on the weekend. So just play a few more. That'd be my only thing is that. Why are we doing that so late at night? But not that big a deal, right? Not that big a deal. Everything was great. I've thought it's been a very good tournament. I will tell you too, this is chalkier than I think anybody would ever like, in the sense that you don't have any true Cinderellas in there. Every team remaining is from a power league, now the Power Four. But it's always felt that way this year. Arkansas is the 10. Nobody on the planet's going to call Arkansas, especially now that they got healthy, Cinderella, right? Not going to happen. That's not a Cinderella. But they made it through. They made it through after beating Kansas and then beating St. John's. By the way, Kansas fans. That's why I liked that run potentially for Kansas into the Sweet 16. Exactly what we saw. Kansas should have beaten Arkansas. But you look at this, and is that a problem for the tournament? No, I don't think it is. I think we'd like to have the Cinderellas. But the likelihood of Cinderellas going on to the Final Four isn't super high anyway. I think this has been a very representative tournament of what this season has been. We have wavered a little bit in who the absolute best team was, but it's always felt like a collection of teams. In fact, I'm pretty sure if you go back and check the tape of this show, that's what you would see. That you would see that we've said, or at least I don't want to speak for anybody else. I think that I've said, this is a year where it feels like there are a lot of really good teams, but no UConn of years past. Duke is probably the closest thing to that because of what they've been able to do lately and healthy. But when you look at it and they're all Power Four teams, does that bother you? I think there are some people out there that are wanting it to feel that way. I think maybe you lose a little of the luster to not have that true, and Colorado State probably would have been, even though they play in the Mountain West. Like, that's not even a Cinderella, really, to me. They're a very good team.
Let's do it.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay as we welcome in Paul Savage. Paul, thanks for hopping in short notice this morning. How are you?
Hold on. I've got a big yawn coming. Could you got a second? Here it comes. No, I'm just joking. Hey, it's good to be in. How you doing besides missing Tommy?
We're good. We're all just a little bit groggy after the party that Wichita put on over the weekend. An incredible, incredible scene down near Intrust Bank Arena.
Yeah.
We were up late watching tournament games. You know, it's just kind of, we need a little extra coffee.
Now, I was down there two times during this celebration. And let me tell you, Wichita, you got to be proud, baby. You got to be proud. That was something else. I'm telling you right now, I wasn't there past dark, but I was there two times. And, on the fringes, didn't travel all the way in and all that. But I was there. And let me tell you, Wichita comes out and support these kinds of things. Wichita is a party city. I don't care what you say. You give us a chance, give us a reason, and we're there. And I'll tell you what, it was so well organized. And believe it or not, I did the East High thing, parked over at East.
Bus. Oh, nice.
Seriously, you don't have to fight anything. I mean, they got buses there waiting, sitting there waiting to take you over to the festivities. And I'll tell you what, Wichita, congratulations. I don't know who was in charge of all the doings, but I'm telling you what, it was as good an operation, as well organized, as I think it probably anywhere in the country. I mean, I can't imagine one being better run.
No, they're not. Well, look, I will tell you this. I've been to a lot of sites, been to a lot of them.
Oh, I know you have. Yeah.
There isn't one that I've been to that is even in the same stratosphere. The one that because I talked to a lot of fans down there this weekend and, you know, just hanging out. I made the joke, like, we're just looking for a reason to be able to drink beer outside, right? Like, it doesn't take It doesn't take much for us to show up to a party.
Yeah.
That's what it was, a great basketball party. I was talking to some fans. The only one anybody, because I wanted to hear from like out of town fans, like, you know, the fans that travel with the teams and they go to all these places. I was talking to some, and the only one that ever got brought up that was relatively close was Tulsa. I said Tulsa when they, and I was, it was Tech fans the year they went to the Final Four. He said, when they went through Tulsa, put on a party like this. But I'll tell you, at all the sites I've been to, like, not even close. And there are great tournament cities. Power and Light is built for it. Omaha is really, really good at it, but nobody shows up like that. I mean, that was wild. And we didn't have Kansas. That's the thing, Paul. I've been worried for months that Kansas was going to play themselves out of Wichita. And what does that mean? Because in 2018, it was also insanity. But a large part of that was Kansas being there, right? Like, there were just so many KU fans. I mean, they sold out a practice session, all of those things that went with it. So this time I'm like, oh, what does this look like? Now, we got a really good draw. We got great fan bases. That helps. But Saturday, I don't know if you're there Saturday, Paul. When those games started and all those visiting fans went into the game, it was still packed.
Still packed. That's right.
And that was, I just, when that happened, I'm like, man, back there, we'll see in a few years. And we talked to Josh Howell from Visit Wichita, who's a part of the bid process to get that thing here. And just if you weren't listening, if you were, you know, didn't hear us last week. So the bidding for, what are we at, 26 and 27. You know, like, you can go back and watch the stream on this to make sure I'm not speaking wrong here. But the bid process in 26 and 27, those are done. Wichita will not be hosting then. But the bid process for 28 and 29, I believe, start soon. And in reality, I don't, you know, getting in at one more than once every 3 years, I don't think ever happens. And so if I had to guess, we'll see in 2028. That'd be my gut feel on it. We'll see in a few years. And that's good. I think you need the space. I don't, you know, you're not going to have what we had this year if you're doing that every year, probably. We certainly don't want to wait 7 years again. Thanks a lot, COVID. But I think every 3 years, just about right. And hopefully the women's tournament can get back into one of those off-year rotations. So it's like, you know, in two of every 3 years, you'll have the men's tournament, you'll have the women's tournament. That would be really cool. And so we'll see. I bet that happens soon. And look, the NCAA doesn't see sellouts inside the arena and that kind of atmosphere outside the arena and stay away for long.
A lot of competition, you know, to host these things. I mean, as you just said, you went through Power and Light, or you went down the list. You're exactly right, though, Jacob. You're exactly right in the fact that there is a lot of competition, good competition, the ability to pull this off competition, and it's tough. And, you know, I'm more hopeful than you that it's more than two out of every 3 years or even, you know, every other year. You know, I'm more that guy. Hey, we're Wichita, Kansas. I want to see it like 2 years and then maybe you take a year off. 2 years.
They don't ever do that. Here's what I would guess. We just sort of get a rotation between Wichita, Omaha, and Kansas City, that we just kind of rotate every 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, Tulsa gets in the mix. Des Moines gets in the mix. Those are the other sites that are pretty consistently there out of the region, but it'll be fine. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. It was a great show. It was a great party. It was a blast. It was so much fun. And I'm so happy we did it. And I'm so proud of the city for doing it the way that they did. The basketball games themselves here were really good. We had a great sight. Mm-hmm. Mizzou and Drake entertained us in the first round. Drake pulled away. Drake hung with Tech enough. But Tech and their great fans advance. Even better on the Houston side. Now, not in the first round. Houston and Gonzaga both absolutely smashed in the first round and then gave us one of the better games of the tournament, probably one of the top three or four games of the tournament so far in that nightcap. And that was also really, really good. We'll get into you know, the Big 12's role in this. How do they stand and stack up against some of the other conferences and all that kind of stuff? But just sort of to touch back to what I opened with here, Paul, what have you thought about the tournament so far? Because we don't have a Cinderella in this tournament. Cinderellas are dead.
Right.
Cinderellas didn't even really make it into the second round.
Well, you had some 5-12s. I get
you okay with that?
Well, if that's what you call Cinderella, those are all pretty good.
That's
teams.
Not a Cinderella. Colorado State is not a Cinderella. Colorado State, who's a great team out of the Mountain West, is not a Cinderella.
No.
New Mexico, who's a good team out of the Mountain West, is not a Cinderella. We didn't have any true Cinderellas make it through this thing.
Yeah.
Those would have been closer to it. But Arkansas is at 10 is the closest we've got. And Arkansas is not a Cinderella with John Calipari. Mm-hmm. They're just healthy.
Yeah.
Right. They just got healthy finally. Right.
You know, one of the great things about having Houston here is I don't know how many times I wish I had a nickel for every time you and I or Tommy and I or you and Tommy have talked about Houston and their basketball team and what defense looks like. You know what defense looks like? If you watched any of Houston over the weekend, you know what defense looks like. Defense is, and we've said this before, and sometimes it's just out on, you know, it's just, it just dissolves in air. People don't believe it. They don't understand it. But basketball games are won with great defense. And I'm telling you right now, Houston does it. I mean, that's just the way that team is. That's the way that team is coached. That's what that coaching staff expects from those five players out on the floor, and that's to play defense. They win with defense. And at this point, You could call me crazy. I think Houston wins the whole thing.
Oh, I mean, they were my pick. I don't call you crazy. They were my pick. I mean,
Why did you pick them? I'm just no right or wrong answer. Why did you pick them?
Because they're consistent. They're consistent, and that consistency, yes, is based in great defense. But yes, like it's. They've been there. They've got, I think, as good, if not the best, like in-game coach going right now. And they're finally healthy, and it's a good year. They've got a good shot at it. But I'm going to tell you, nobody's lucky right now in their draw. I mean, you're just not. The SEC is very well represented, as you assumed they would be. The Big 12, with four teams in there, is very well represented, as you assumed they would be. You're going to get an even better and the Big Ten is well represented with what do they have left? Four teams in there. Big Ten, Big 12 with four. The outsider right now, but besides those three leagues, you got Duke in from the ACC. I believe they're the only one from the ACC. And that's it. That's it. You know, they're just like you don't have anybody else.
Well, it's going to be a stacked 16, but I mean, that's what we come to expect. I mean, you know, the best is going to rise, and you're going to have the Houstons, you're going to have the Auburns, you're going to have the, you know, you name those, the teams that you would predict, and you're going to have a bunch of those at Sweet 16 times. That's the way it's going to be. But in terms of just pure fun basketball, it's going to be some – there's going to be some really good games, and they're going to be highly competitive. And I don't think you're going to see as many
blows. I don't have a problem with this either. You don't have a problem that we've got all power conference teams here, because I think this is very representative of what this season has been. These 16 teams.
Wait a second. We're in the world of NIL. Jacob, what are you expecting now? I mean,
NC State made it a year ago when nobody expected. Here's what I would say.
Okay, I got like, you. Maybe those.
NIL, and it's hard. I don't think we truly know. UConn was absolutely dominant last year. As dominant we've seen a college basketball team, back-to-back champions. I do think that the talent is spreading, but it could be spreading among, you know, these teams, among the
right
power four.
That's correct.
And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Because I think we look at this right now and you're looking at a group of teams. I mean, with the exception of BYU probably, and that's about it. you're looking at teams that we all kind of felt like would be around the top 15 mm-hmm. when the year started, top 16. All right, so we looked at this, Paul, and we'll just continue this. Wyatt Thompson joins us next hour to talk K-State women. We've got a tournament here where, when I filled out my bracket, I told people, I've never been as chalky as I was in the bracket. I had all four number ones in the final four. Felt dirty, felt guilty about it. But when you look at the way this has played out, this has been, it's not that it's predictable. I won't say that it's predictable, but I will say that we had a year of college basketball where we had a lot of really good teams without anybody not named Duke late that just made this surge that made you think they were ever going to beat a large number of these teams badly. Duke is probably the closest thing to that when healthy, and they are right now. And they beat the brakes off of Baylor in the second round to get to a matchup with Arizona. They'll be far more tested, I think, by Arizona and or BYU or Alabama. I think BYU, if you're looking at the teams that remain, would be the most Cinderella. Even they play in the Big 12 now, Paul, and they're really good. I mean, Arkansas played in the SEC. If those are your two teams, and Ole Miss is a six, like we're chalky right now. Mm-hmm. We're chalky mm-hmm. in this bracket. Mm-hmm. And that is perfectly okay, because what I do think is there are a lot of these teams. If you're doing, and this is fun if you've never done it, if you're doing one of those contests where everybody, you put 16 teams in a hat and everybody draws one and that's your team to go the rest of the way, there are years where you do that and there are clearly teams you don't want to draw, right? Like, no, they've got no chance. I don't think you can look at this collection of 16 teams and say everybody has no chance. Anybody has no chance at this. And that is a different kind of cool than we've seen before. Because the reality is, Paul, Cinderellas are fun up until the Sweet 16. But once you get to the Sweet 16, they're not as fun because you feel like they never actually have a chance. I don't think you can say that about any of these teams, that they have no chance to win this thing, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
No, it makes total sense. And you're right. They're in the team in that Sweet 16 that gets on a run, gets hot, makes some shots, wins a game in the last 10 seconds or two, and goes down to the wire and plays good defense, which a lot of these teams do, then any of them can win. And I think that's exactly the right way to look at it. This is a unique Sweet 16 because you're right. Most Sweet 16s, we've got some sort of Cinderella at one level of Cinderellaism or another. And right here, you know, you're kind of hard-pressed to pick which team would be that Cinderella team. But, no, you're right. This is going to be competitive. Now, with that being said, I kind of like competitive. I think that this bracket is set up for a lot of success for teams. I mean, you go right down the list. Who do you not like? I mean, you know, you were talking about Arkansas as a 10. Did you watch them against St. John? That was a tough, tough, tough-minded basketball team. That was one of the fun games. It wasn't even hardly a close game at times. I mean, you kind of always had the feeling Arkansas was going to win. But that's a tough-minded basketball team. Well, we should know that it is going to be. You know, one thing they will have is tough-mindedness. You know, John Calipari doesn't fool around. I mean, he knows what he's doing. John Calipari, let's just say it, knows what it takes to win basketball games at the NCAA level, and he gets his teams to do it. That's why he's where he's at and makes the money he makes and why he's in the Hall of Fame. So with that being said, you tell me the team that can't win, and I'll make you a case, well, they can win. There isn't a single team.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's right. Not a single team that can't win.
But doesn't that make for a cool experience? Like,
I have seen
– like this thought that, oh, there just haven't been any Cinderella. Now, if you want to make the case that we haven't had a lot of like down to the wire finishes, you got me there. We haven't had as many of those.
Been a little boring on that case.
Yeah, but this group of teams represents this college basketball season very, very well, because it's felt like that all year. I mean, most of this year, we've looked at it, and maybe you've thought Auburn was that team.
Well, I thought it for a while.
But like, it just, we don't have
that
handful of, like, it feels like there are about 16 or 20 teams, mm-hmm. and we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wide open year. Mm-hmm. Now we look at it. The SEC had 14 out of 16 teams make it in. They get half of those teams onto the Sweet 16. The Big 12 had, what, seven, I think? And
seven
four
in.
Are through.
Yeah.
A little more than half. Kind of the big, same thing for the Big 10. Duke's then cleaning up the rest with Duke by itself in the ACC. That's your representation. It's a power league game. Get on board with it. But don't act like the Mountain West had two teams that just about made it in, right? Between Colorado State should have made it in, by the way. New Mexico had Michigan State on the ropes and couldn't hold on, but they almost had a couple of teams in. Drake almost made it in. So I thought that was all fine too, but you've got the power leagues represented here, Paul. And as there is a shift, I think two things can be true at the same time. Yes, things are going to filter up to the top, but they're not filtering up to like only four or five teams like they have in some years. Mm-hmm. So I do think we're still seeing a spreading out of talent through all of this. I just think it's, you know, and it is going upward clearly, but it's going outward too, because like we said at the beginning of this, these teams all have a chance. There aren't years where that happens, but I do think it's that way this year. There are clearly favorites. Some are favored over the others. There's no doubt about that. And I like all the ones and those kinds of things, but I think we're also seeing what it can look like if everybody's got play, because if five guys can start, Paul, that's it. Five guys can start. Mm-hmm. And so when there are really good players on other teams that aren't getting the opportunity and they go somewhere else, they become star players somewhere else. All this stuff's happening. And we have this kind of a Sweet 16. I don't want to say this is the way it's always going to be. It's the way it was this year. Okay. It's the way it was this year. And I think this Sweet 16 is going to be fantastic.
Well,
fantastic.
Jacob, you're so naive to say that this is an out year. This may be an outlier where this is going to be the way. This is what NCAA basketball is from here on out. From here on out, Jacob.
It's too early for me to say that.
I don't know what in the world would make you think it's not. Because once you get down to the nitty-gritty, you've got a 15 playing a 2 or a 16 playing a 1. Those will be total mismatches. Those are basically, NBA games.
Those are always mismatches,
Paul. But we've always had competitive at least. Not all of them, but a lot of them are competitive. And then on those moments, what makes a tournament more fun and make you want to tune in more to those kind of games than when a 16 beats a 1, which hardly ever happens, but they're competitive, or a 15 beat a 2, which has happened a little bit more, or a 14 and a 3. Those are magic moments. Those are magic moments that whenever it happens, we talk about it, don't we? We come in the very next morning and we talk about it. Isn't that cool? Jacob, it's so cool. Yeah, Paul, that is so cool. We've got these teams that are competing with the big boys. It's really, and that is over. This is the tournament that seals that right now. Don't ever think that we're going to have a competitive team. As a matter of fact, you're almost at the point now, you can now go with, instead of 64 teams, well, maybe we start out with 32 teams. What do you think? I mean, because you're going to be at that point.
I think you're crazy. How many years did a 13 ever have a real chance to win a national championship?
Well, not that many, but they had them, and they did it.
Give me one example.
I can't give you one off the top of my head.
That's right. You can't, because they don't make it through to the end. Like they don't. Like they have a nice run in the first couple of rounds. Maybe you get one on to the final four, but they don't win championships.
Yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, I know. I'm a little melancholy for that. But I'm a sucker for the underdog. Jacob, I'm sorry.
We all are. That's what makes this tournament so great. It is. I get that. And I think this was a little bit of an outlier in getting that sort of upset early on, because we didn't have it, right? If you think Colorado State is a 12 is a true like upset, you probably weren't paying attention to the fact that Colorado State was favored in that game over Memphis, right? That's not a true upset.
No, of course not. You're exactly right.
McNeese over Clemson.
It's an upset.
Was the other 12. Yeah. That one was more true, but it was also, I don't remember what that line was, but it wasn't a lot. Wasn't a lot. So again, I'm telling you, this was a year where there were a lot of good teams, a lot of good teams that had a chance. And you just like, you get into it. And that's the way it played out. Now we look at 16 teams, though. You want to start the tournament over, and it's wide open. I just checked all the lines, Paul. They're Duke's favored by 9. Houston's favored by 8. Auburn's favored by 8. Everybody else, nobody's favored by more than 10 points going into the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm. And those are all three of the teams that I would say, if you had to push it.
Should be. I agree. Well, I agree with
that. Yeah, okay.
But that doesn't mean that they can't lose.
Well, of course they can't. You know, they're playing teams, too, that are paying their players. I mean, everybody there is paying players. You got good players. And every team in the Sweet 16, they're in a team in the Sweet 16 that couldn't get hot and make a little run, and boom, all of a sudden you're national championships. Champions. I mean, let's face it, a week from Monday you're going to have a national champion. And it's going to go quick, it's going to go fast, and then boom, any team that's left right now. Because I think most Sweet 16s, we would look at it and say there's a couple teams there. They have played their rear ends off.
But they got no chance to win it, right? That's usually the way that goes.
That's the way it works. And that's changed a little, hadn't it, Jacob?
Well, I think it's changed this year. It's changed this year.
Yes.
Right? Like, But we look back at it last year, and NC State was the outlier. It's the same story. Yeah. Everybody else was brand name.
Well, can I ask you a question? I'd love to know your feeling on this, because how often have we heard someone say this is like a holiday? I mean, we know people. You and I both know people that take off that first day of the sweets of the start of the tournament. Those first 2 days are wonderful days. We know people who take off work, don't we? I know we know people that take off work. They're going to watch it. It could be
it's good stuff. All right, we're going to continue the conversation into the next hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage here with you. Tommy, a late scratch out 6. Max Power, still producing, rocking and rolling for us. You got that number at 869-1240. You can call. You can also get in touch with us on our video stream, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. You want to win some HTO? Let's do that right now. You can text the keyword T to 20357. That's T20357 to get a cup of iced tea on us here. More than 26 flavors to choose from. Those will go, either East or West Wichita or in Derby. So good luck on those, everybody. Again, it's T20357. Yes, Paul.
The next time I come in, I'm going to come in. I'm going to promote HTO water, bottled water. I bought some bottled water. I bought a carton? I don't know what you call them. But I bought a deal of water. I bet a lot of people don't even realize HTO has great water. And by the way, you know what I really like about your water? And this is unpaid. You're not paying me anything for these comments. You know what I like about your water is that the bottle isn't like this thinnest plastic that you've ever had.
Yeah, it is sturdy.
It is sturdy. And I like how sturdy it is. You can't bend it. It's like you're almost holding a glass bottle in your hand. And I'm telling you, the water's great. I'll tell you what, Just do this. Somebody, if you're wanting bottled water, stop by and get, what are they, 12-ounce bottles, I guess. Everybody's 12-ounce. Is that right? 12-ounce water, is that what it is? I think that's what it is.
You know, 16.
Oh, is it 16? Well, whatever it is. It's delicious. It's great. And check out the bottles. Notice the bottle. Well, you can't help but notice how sturdy the bottle is. Do it. Try it. Give it a go. I hope everybody tries it because it's really cool.
So I'm looking, Paul, back at these tournaments, and I appreciate that. It is great water. Looking back at these tournaments, Final Four in 2023. So two tournaments ago. Just two. Two tournaments ago, Paul. The Final Four was San Diego State, FAU, UConn, and Miami. You had a 5, a 9, a 4, and a 5. Okay, so like I think we're jumping the gun. We're jumping the gun to sit there and say we'll never see XYZ again. I mean, that was 2 years ago that we saw the absolute chaos bracket. Okay, chaos bracket. Last year it was UConn, Alabama, NC State is an 11, and Purdue is a 1. Bama was a 4 last year. Another pretty chaotic bracket. Let's not overreact to one that kind of goes the way you thought it would. Right? Like that's what I'm saying. Like let's just hang tight here. Because it's been, you know, and the year after FAU went, Paul, they kept most of their great players. They kept Dusty May. He's now at Michigan. But it's not like I don't want to overreact because what I think this year is unique. I think this year is unique in that there are a lot of really good teams. A lot. And we're kind of seeing a Sweet 16 represent that. There are a lot of really good teams. And so we have kind of all of them playing their way through in a tournament. So let's see. Let's not overreact this year. And let's see. And because who knows? If they all have a chance, like we all kind of think that they do, what if you end up with a 10 and a 4 and a couple of 6s in your Final Four? Are you going to say the same thing then? No, let's see how it works. Granted, I've got the 1s all playing in the Final Four, as I did when I filled out my bracket. Mm-hmm. As a lot of people did. By the way, that wasn't a bold statement to make this year. It just, it's felt that way to me that we're going to have some good. And I think it's going to make, by the way, for a great Sweet 16. I do. I think we're going to get a really, really, really good Sweet 16.
Well, that would be the case because of the talent level of these teams. But I think you're fooling yourself if you think this is an outlier year where it's going to be these teams. You know, you're going to look at all the teams out of the SEC, the Big 12, the Big Ten, all these leagues that have sent all these teams, the Dukes. You know, this is not an outlier anymore. This is the way it's going to be, Jacob. This is not going to be one of those, you know, flukes, and we don't have anybody who's an underdog or anything like that. No, I think we're at that point now in this tournament where reality is setting in, and it's going to now be basically a tournament for the big boys. And I guess that's okay, but it's always been fun to root for the little guy, for the underdog. That's sort of the American way. But I think we're into a time that this is going to be the common thing. What it will be very uncommon is when we have a Florida Atlantic, or we have an SISU, or we have somebody like that who makes it on into the Sweet 16. It's not going to happen. And I think we're past that. I think we're well past that, and it won't happen again. And it bothers me. I wish there was a way we could.
Let me get to a comment here. I mentioned FAU. Rick says those three FAU stars, Florida, Michigan, Arkansas this year. That's fine. But the three stars from the 22-23 Final Four run all played at Florida Atlantic again the next year. They left because their coach left. That's why they left. Dusty May left. So they left. They all returned the next year after they made the Final Four to FAU. All three of them returned.
Well, I was using FAU. It just came to my mind, and I threw it out there. You know, it was substitute somebody else. Substitute McNeese. And by the way, watching McNeese was a lot of fun. Watching that game against Clemson, that was a lot of fun. They almost lost, though. You know, Clemson made a big close run. It would have been a shame if they'd have won. But Clemson could have won that game down the stretch. But it was fun to watch. I missed those kind of games. But we're not going to see.
Was McNeese going to win the title this year, Paul?
Oh, I didn't even think they would advance to the next round, let alone, you know, win that game. I mean, I didn't think they would beat Clemson, but you get my point. And we're going to get to that point, but it's okay. That's just the way it's got to be. But the tournament is going to change. The tournament is going to change.
It's 1 year.
Well, I think this is not an outlier. I can tell you that.
It's never an outlier. Look, Cinderella teams aren't going to win a national championship. They don't. They don't win them, ever. So what are we pretending? Mm-hmm. That now the Cinderellas have no chance to win a national championship?
Well,
because they've never had a chance to win a national championship.
You make a good point. The last Cinderella team to win the national championship was Texas Western. And they were darn good on the court.
When was that?
Oh, let's see. That would have been in the 60s.
Okay. Like, let's okay. Chill. Let's chill with, like, I'm looking at ESPN right now, and it says NIL killed Cinderella teams for ages to come. Oh. Cinderella teams are never going to win a championship. Never have been, never will. That's never happened. Yeah. Like, what are we pretending that this tournament has ever been?
Well, Jacob, they make the tournament fun to watch. Who doesn't love a good Cinderella? A good Cinderella story, there's nothing like it. And you know, whether it's high school football or whether it's the NCAA.
Now, are we saying, here, let me, are we saying mid-majors will never make it?
Are you talking about a Missouri Valley?
You know what
are
I
you
mean?
Talking
like about Missouri? Teams out of the Valley, okay, or the Mountain West or the Big East?
Well, the Mountain West is a little different, unique. I mean, that's a little different than, say, the Valley.
Of course, Andrew says Butler advanced to the national final 2 years in a row.
Well, that's right.
So the second year that they advanced, they clearly were not a Cinderella of any kind.
No.
Because they were just there. I'm not talking about teams out of those leagues. Not, again, Colorado State to me is not a cinder. They play in the Mountain West. You got to go way back to find like real true Cinderellas making it through. And by the way, they don't win the national championship. But if maybe we're talking about two different things. If you think, and Andrew, if you think Butler making it to back-to-back finals is a Cinderella, then we have a different definition of what a Cinderella is. That's not a Cinderella. FAU making it through was a Cinderella story. I'll give you that. Then they returned all those same players, though. But they weren't. They didn't win the national championship.
No.
So I just don't think we just didn't get any mid-majors into the Sweet 16. I don't want to create this narrative that Cinderellas never have a chance again because of the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. FAU returned all their players the year they went to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they returned all of them.
Well, this has changed the way I fill out brackets because I still filled my bracket out to a certain extent with, with some underdogs. You know, I'm always looking for that. Who's going to beat who? That's the fun thing to do. It's never fun to pick the highest seed or the lowest seed in the tournament with regards to making your basketball picks. That's not fun. That's not sporting. You got to get some picks where a higher seed beats a lower seed. You got to do that. Well, not so much anymore. I mean, my next year ballot or my ballot that enlists everybody, I'm going to start making some picks, Jacob, and there are going to be a lot of fives over 13s. There's going to be every 13, 14, 15 and 16 seed, I'm going to have to pick to lose. There's no question. I just automatic. That's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it will be on the court. And I think we're going to see a lot of people stop having a little fun trying to figure out what 15 is going to beat a 2.
What, Paul? Let me ask you this way, and I'll ask anybody who's trying to argue with me right now this question. How many double digit seeds have ever in the tournament back to 1985 when we expanded to 64? How many double digit seeds have played in a national championship game?
I'm going to say zero.
Zero. Okay? Zero. Zero Cinderellas have ever played in a national championship game. That's
Yeah, but I like
Wyatt Thompson. We'll ask Wyatt Thompson. I like dating
Cinderella. What do you think of that?
We'll be in with Wyatt next. Don't go away.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack.
A nice pleasant high of 75 degrees. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronald Williams.
Okay, take it easy. We're going in the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you, and we are glad to bring on Wyatt Thompson. Very brief break, Wyatt. We were just texting last week as we were live at a St. Patrick's Day event. I was like, all right, Wyatt, well, I guess, you know, we'll just get to that time of year where we kind of check in occasionally. The basketball team lost early and all these things. And then wouldn't you know it, it's like, oh, hey, wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Hang on. The K-State women are they're dancing, baby, and we're on to the Sweet 16. I want to get to them in just a second, but just to sort of continue a conversation we were just having with people. There's this narrative building that like Cinderellas and upsets are dead on the men's side because we have all power conference teams in there. I don't feel that way at all. I think it's been representative completely of the way this season has gone for college basketball on the men's side, that there were a large group of really good teams. But like for me, I don't want to overreact to it because Cinderellas never win the championship anyway. Like Cinderella, like true Cinderellas are good for a win, maybe two to get to the Sweet 16. But I just like, we've never had a double digit seed play in a national championship game ever. It's never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know this. I'd have to research it, but I do think that, you know, you have a couple of teams there that you might throw out there as, boy, they came close, right? If you think back years ago, Utah made the national championship game. Obviously, FAU in more recent times. But generally speaking, if you are a team like a Colorado State who lost a heartbreaking game last night at the buzzer, I thought they were as good as most teams at their level as I had seen. But it's so hard to, I mean, if you look at the Sweet 16 on the men's side, what do you see? Lots of SEC, lots of Big Ten, lots of Big 12, and an ACC team. That's it. That's where
you're at. Should have been one. Colorado State should have won. Maryland, they traveled. But then, I don't like Colorado State's really good. Like, are they really a Cinderella, a team that like rolls out of the Mountain West and is, I don't know that fits for me, but maybe it does for some people.
Well, I guess I would say they were in this particular case, but only because of the circumstance that they were in. They've been good with Nico Medved for quite a while, but they probably have been playing NCAA tournament basketball for their last 10 or 11 games. They weren't getting in unless they won the Mountain West tournament. That's everybody is saying it. And yet they were probably the fourth best team in the Mountain West. And that's the thing. I think if you really, again, I think everybody deserves a solid chance. But, man, how could you leave them out? They weren't left out, but there are so many automatic qualifiers that aren't even in the vicinity of where they're at, as an example. It kind of, a lot of people are complaining about the margin in these games too. And that's just, it's just what it is. It's part of the tournament. It's, you know, worse on the women's side, if I'm being honest.
It always has been.
And always will be, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, Wyatt, it's an interesting thing as you sit and watch. Jacob and I were talking about this. Paul Savage here, by the way. Good to talk to you. Haven't talked to you for a little bit.
How are you?
Good to see you. You know, it's just wonderful to have you on and visit with you a little bit. I'm really appreciative of this tournament in a lot of ways. I think, and maybe I'm going to make a broad statement, and you can yay or nay me, whichever you want to do, but this is a broad statement, something I think I've observed, and that is defense is being played in this tournament better and more ferociously than it's ever been played before. Defense is winning, is the factor that's going to win this basketball tournament. Right? I mean, it's a good conversation, and I need to know what you think.
I cannot argue with that, Paul, because I've always believed that the teams, generally speaking, that are going to be the most consistent are those that defend. I think a really good example that we could use here, if you look at metrics, is Tennessee or Alabama or Auburn, those types of teams, maybe even an Oregon from last night or Arizona. All of those teams love to score up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But when push comes to shove, their metrics defensively are really good too. And I just think that's what, you know, Houston's another, they're probably the best example because they've almost gone the other way. They've been so good defensively for so long. Now the offense has caught up, right? They've never had a team quite like this from my perspective with two elite shooters and then Uzan playing like he's playing too. I think they're going to be hard out, but I totally agree. I mean, you better defend and rebound. And I think pretty much generally speaking, the 16 or left are pretty darn good at that.
I would say the only disappointment, Wyatt, for the Big 12 was Iowa State last night.
No doubt.
Other than that, getting four teams in feels pretty good to me.
And it's the Sweet 16.
Yeah, four out of the seven. And they all have an opportunity still to advance one round further. How good would it feel to say four out of eight, you know, into the Elite Eight? So I think the Big 12 is kind of right where they need to be for this tournament. The league was not quite as top heavy as we thought it would be this year. But here we are when push comes to shove, and they're right there.
Yeah. Well, I've told you all along, and you know this, you follow this, guys, Texas Tech's elite in so many different ways, correct, including depth. Nobody wants to talk about their depth. And that's what hurt Iowa State last night. I'm not saying it's the reason they lost, but not having Keyshawn Gilbert was a factor. I don't care what anybody says. He may not be their best player, but he's one of their best players. And going back to Paul's point, he's about as good a defender as they have, right? You're going to, and in my mind, that game was won on the toughness meter by Mississippi, not what Iowa State didn't do. They just got out. They just got, Bruce Weber used to call it, we got punked. Iowa State got punked last night, in my mind. Mississippi State wanted it more from the get-go. I thought that was happening in the Arizona game. They were down 19-4, and then the next thing you know, they're winning the game. It's like, whoa. But they can score. They got a lot of dudes that can put it in the basket.
You know,
let's talk about the women real quick here. So we don't know who they'll play yet. We know they'll play next Saturday. We think it's probably going to be USC. Mm-hmm. USC is very good. But before we do that, the run that they're on, you know, they got to this point last year, and I think they feel like they left a lot on the table. Now it's been a year of injury. They're finally healthy, and they have an overtime thriller like that on the road to advance. Do you get the sense that washes it completely clean? You kind of swap one year for the other. I don't know. Like, I'm glad they're in the Sweet 16. They're certainly a team that's good enough to be in the Sweet 16. So it's really good to see them at least be healthy. But it had to be a little bit vindicating to get through that round that way after what happened last year.
I'll be perfectly honest with you, Jacob. I think it's a great question. And I think the shortest answer is yes. I think there is some of that. Last year left such a horrible taste in their mouth. I don't think it went away, but it probably will now, right? I mean, they feel like, I'm just telling you, I think they feel like they can go out there and beat USC too. Now, whether they will or not, I don't know that. But it's a talented team. I've said all year it's a deep team, but yesterday they played only seven, but so did Kentucky. You get down to this time and those minutes are so precious, right? You got to have your best people on the floor. I didn't even look. Let me look here real quick on Yoki and the minutes. She played almost 29 minutes.
Yeah.
That's a lot for her right now coming
and
off.
And she'd
the
have played
injury.
More if she wasn't in foul trouble, I think.
Absolutely she would have. She'd have probably been at 31, 32 minutes. Yeah, I'm really proud of them from the standpoint of they won a game yesterday that was there for the grabbing. But you still got to do it, and in a hard environment. If you look at the numbers, they're different teams, and yet there's a ton of similarities. K-State shot 40%. They shot 39%. I mean, all the way across, it was a high-level women's college basketball game from my perspective. You know, there were missed shots and those kind of things, but defense is part of that. They just made enough plays. A little bit fortunate that little floater at the end kind of bounced off. I thought
ball
it was
don't
going.
Lie.
I was like, oh.
Ball don't lie. It shouldn't have gone in because the ball don't lie. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. It was there. Mm-hmm.
You know why? I want to ask a Big 12 question with regards to the women's side of this basketball tournament, and that is, does the Big 12 have a chance of winning a national championship? I mean, TCU has snuck up on me. That whole organization snuck up on me on the girls' side, the women's side. It just has. I'm sorry to say that. It snuck up on me. And TCU's a really, really good basketball team. But do they have the juice to win a national championship? Or are we going to crown South Carolina another year? And I mean, what's going on? Come on. Are we going to have any fun in this tournament or not?
Well, I think there is a chance of it, Paul, but I don't know this next game, because TCU gets Notre Dame now. That'll be a hard opponent for them. But they do have a lot of pieces. I had the chance to see them when they were here in Manhattan during the regular season, and they do have pieces. They have a big girl who's really active and can score. Everybody knows about the Von Lithgow, and she's really, really rock solid. Mark's done a good job with them, you know, getting – you know, quality players, and for them to not only win the league, but to win the league tournament too, I think that tells you they've got some toughness to them. If they get by that, now you're looking at a potential matchup with Texas. And the reality of it is, you talk about winning a national title, somebody's going to have to beat a Texas or a South Carolina or whatever to get there. And in the women's game, it's just harder because they have more good players.
Yeah.
Those elite teams like that, that's what they have.
Yeah, it feels like it's always been that way. I've always hoped NIL would spread that. I don't think we have enough. Like we can try and go to the men's side and come up with trends and all these things. I don't think we've got that yet for the women. I suppose seeing TCU very quickly get to this point, you know, by bringing players in, would give us an indication that maybe that will spread out a little bit, just sort of which teams have an appetite to be really good at women's basketball. We see, you know, some of the players are as high profile as the men, quite honestly, when you talk about an endorsement or any of those kinds of things have moved around. But it does. It's not as dominant as it used to be. I think that we got a little bit of progress when you could have written in the national championship, the national champion in October. And there have been a lot of years it's been that way. I don't think it's that way this year at all. And I don't think it has been for a little while.
I think there are more. What we're basically saying here is I think there are more K-States and TCUs and West Virginias than there once were. And yet, you know, if you look at the last, say, 20 to 25 years in women's college basketball, it's been pretty top heavy with domination, right? Most recently, it's been a South Carolina or whatever, but yeah, I don't know if you saw that picture on social media the other day of Gino Auriemma. he had all the championship rings on his fingers and his thumbs and stuff. It's like he didn't have enough fingers and thumbs to do it. So they still need a little bit more, a little bit more even Steven, if you will, because if you look at the men's Sweet 16, it's a lot harder to say these four are going to get to where they need to go.
Oh, sure.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's just, that's in my personal opinion. I believe that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can get eight more threes out of Tamara Poindexter.
That helped. It would not hurt. She was on it yesterday. It seemed like about every shot was right in the middle of the well, man. She was on. Knock on wood. Let's hope she can bring that Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's just hope they can stay healthy.
She's really talented, man.
Yeah.
They've got so many great players, and we love them because they've got so many great local players that we've been following since they were high schoolers. And they're a fun team, and it's going to be tough. They go out to, it was Spokane, right?
Yeah.
They got to go out to Spokane Saturday and likely play USC. If you want to see an upset, tonight would be a good night to root for one. Go for Mississippi State over USC. 100%
true, yeah, because they are really good.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody made the point about K-State last year beating, you know, a Caitlin Clark. I know USC's got a great, great player, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's hard, but, you know, they're where they're at now. Now you're 40 minutes away from going one more step. Let's see if they can do it. I hope they can, because it's been a blast watching them. As a matter of fact, they've created more work for me. Brian's doing the games this weekend, so somebody's got to do baseball on radio, and I got K-State and Texas Tech Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because of that. So I'm good. It's more work, but I love it. Hey, let's go.
There you go.
Well, you know,
can I be a
bad work?
I want to be a trendsetter here real quick, and I'll probably get the ire of Jacob with this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm going to be the very first person in your life right now to ask you, who do you got winning the men's basketball league in the Big 12 next year? Because after all, we're not going to jinx K-State. They're not in. They're not playing. They didn't get in.
Right.
So I can ask this question. Who do you got winning the Big 12 next year?
Are you talking football or basketball?
Basketball.
Ooh, it's so hard to tell without knowing what's going to happen.
I know.
I mean, the portal opens today, as you guys know. And I've already heard that Josan Sanin, as an example, that terrific freshman at Arizona State's in the portal. He won't be the first or the last, obviously. It's most difficult, but I'll say just based on what I believe will happen in terms of the players that everybody has that are coming back, I would give you a couple of two or three teams to really watch. I think BYU is going to be way good, right? I think Houston, even though they will have significant losses, they have a top five national recruiting class and some dudes back. And then, I mean, if you've not seen the Patterson kid who's going to Kansas, he's dynamite. And they've got El Marco Jackson, and they've got Flory Badunga and some
they
of those
get
types
a clean
of guys.
Slate too.
And don't sleep on Tech. That's not what you wanted, but I'm just telling you,
no,
the top
good.
Part of the league should be just terrific next year, I think.
Well, I just wanted to be the first one to ask you. That's all, Wyatt. I wanted to be a first in your life at something.
Well, I appreciate that.
We saw Coach Tang here this weekend in Wichita for the games. Maybe getting a look at some play. It'll be wild, and I hope the Cats and the Cat Boosters have the same sort of appetite that they have in years past. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the internal roster movement, but you got to have that. You know, you got to have that well to go get these guys. And I think I get the sense that they do. I think they're going to have plenty to play with here and go try to piece another roster together. It's really kind of with them, don't you think, more of who comes back?
Yeah, right now I think that's probably a legitimate thought. And I think a good portion of these guys will come back. It's probably unrealistic to think that all that could will. You know, as an example, you know, just an average person that's a basketball fan is probably going to say, why wouldn't Doug McDaniel get into the portal to see what's out there money-wise? And I get that.
Yeah.
Right?
I do too.
Not saying he will or he won't.
Yeah.
But that's the way people think now. That's how we've been set up to think based on the money. I mean, you heard the Queen kid last night talk about what sets Kevin Willard apart as the basketball coach at Maryland. He pays me. That was his answer.
I didn't hear that. That's funny. It's true, but
it's not untrue. And not every player. Exactly, by the way, not true.
Yeah,
not
these
every
kids
player
now are asking more when they come in. I've been told this by, you know, lots and lots of people. When they come in and visit now, they have their parents with them or a handler or both. And the first thing I ask is, what are you paying me?
Yep. And some coaches are comfortable with that and some aren't. Not every player is that way either.
That's fair. Right. More
Wyatt,
than fair.
Saturday, here we go. Sweet 16 for the women. We appreciate it. Thanks for hopping in here.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks to Wyatt Thompson for hopping back in and talking a little K-State women's hoops. A little Big 12 hoops. Look, we're on a topic today that I think is a good one, because as I look up, I see it over and over. And as I'm browsing headlines this morning, it's the same thing Paul is saying. Cinderellas are dead. Cinderellas are dead. I don't think Cinderellas are dead. I think this year is a tournament where there were a bunch of really good teams and they've made it through from the power leagues. We haven't seen this before. Is this the outlier? Andrew on YouTube, which you can always comment to us on Facebook, YouTube, and X. I mean, Paul is fired up at me, fired up about Butler, using terms like grow up and stop it and it's lame. I think that's a little dramatic as an aside, but I'll tell you this. Paul, would you define the Butler Bulldogs, who went to back to, this is what he's mad about, Butler, that I'm changing the definition of a Cinderella. The year that Butler went to their first national championship in 2009, by the way, 15 years ago, was the fourth straight year they had made the NCAA tournament. They had won games in two of the three tournaments prior, and they were a 5 seed that year.
Mm-hmm.
A 5 seed mm-hmm. that won 30 games. Mm-hmm. Is that a Cinderella?
Well, and who was the head coach at that time? Yeah, we know
Brad
who it
Stevens.
Is. Brad Stevens. And where's he at now? He's with the Celtics. I'm going to say that that's
then,
lightning
like,
in a bottle.
Butler
that's,
didn't come out of nowhere. Butler won 33 games,
right.
Didn't lose a game in league play, had won 4 straight league titles, and were in their 4th straight NCAA tournament with 1 Sweet 16 appearance. They had 3 wins in 4 years in those tournaments, and they were a 5 seed.
Yeah, and then some people would say, not me, but I know some people would say, well, but that's not the Big East. That's not the SEC.
That's
not the Big 12.
That's like calling Gonzaga
well,
a Cinderella.
How long did it take for Gonzaga to overcome this anomaly-type stuff? It took them a while. I think we now think of Gonzaga as a team that could compete in any conference in America. And as a matter of fact,
are.
They are.
And so were those Butler teams, by the way.
And so were those Butler teams. But Butler, at that time, caught lightning in a bottle with Brad Stevens.
They were playing in the Horizon League.
And they were playing in the Horizon League. But with Brad Stevens, it was one of those things.
Like if that's the way we wanted to, like if we're gonna call, and I'm not saying this is wrong, by the way.
Okay.
But if we're gonna call a Cinderella basically any team that's not in the Power Four, if that's how we want to define it, okay. I'm okay with that. Then we have to call Gonzaga a Cinderella every year.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right? Or St. Mary's this year. Is St. Mary's a Cinderella?
I hate to say this, but I think Gonzaga, to a certain extent, is still a Cinderella. I mean, it's not that.
That's fine. If that's how you want to define it, most people won't, though.
Okay, well, I
but
still kind of think
we're
it
just
could,
saying, yeah. like, if we're just saying the days of teams not in the power, we'll call it, 4 leagues, I guess. I don't know. The Big East probably in basketball makes it a Power Five.
Right.
If you're saying teams out of those leagues are never going to make it again, I still think that's incorrect, because I think Colorado State was right there. Should have won. Mm-hmm. I mean, Queen traveled on the last bucket, in my opinion.
Well, I think he did,
Colorado
too.
State should have won that game.
I think there's a good possibility of that.
I'm going to find it hard, though, when San Diego State's coming out of the Mountain West as a 3 seed, to call them a Cinderella. Or Gonzaga, who's not, you know, who's still playing in a small league. St. Mary's this year is just, like, those aren't Cinderellas to me. And the reality is, the true Cinderellas, teams that we didn't see coming, teams that, you know, whatever, even if we want to just do it by seed, right, where you got to be at least a double digit seed, but then we got Arkansas as a double digit seed this year, so they throw it a little bit. But even if you wanted to say that, those teams don't ever make the championship anyway. So, I think we just, what my whole point in all of this is just, like, let's be careful to poo-poo on a tournament, because we don't have Farley Dickinson through to the Sweet 16.
Well, like, that's a good point. No, that's a good point, Jacob.
This has been an interesting tournament that is a little unlike any that I can remember.
No.
It's because we haven't had as many like buzzer beaters, mm-hmm. as much as it is about we have only teams from the power leagues represented here. That doesn't usually happen. So let's see if that becomes a trend, because it hasn't been a trend in the past.
Well,
let's see if it becomes one.
Yeah.
And then B, I think it's more about not getting buzzer beaters is the truer sense of why that first couple of rounds felt a little bit different than what it would normally feel.
Right.
But it's not because some double digit team's not going to make the Final Four or the championship game. That almost never happens. And when it does, it's almost always like NC State last year, a team playing in a power league, or Arkansas this year, who would have a chance to go through that way.
Right. And I think your main point, which is the best point that you made, is the fact that we didn't have a lot of close games in the first couple days.
And that's not good. I don't like that.
Is not good, because that says to me, says just go ahead, wait for a few days, get tuned in, get locked in, and that's not what you want. We're used to seeing games where a team plays themselves into the Elite Eight. They'll play their way in, scrapping and winning by a bucket, winning in the last moment, you know, gutting it out. See, that's what we want to see, and we want to see it almost every game. And the first few days of this basketball tournament this year was about as anticlimactic as we've had in years and years and years. And so it obviously, for people like you and me, we say, well, is this foreboding? Is this the way it's going to be? Is this how this is going to play out for the rest of our days, as long as the system is set up the way it is right now? And I think it's too early to get a read on that, but I think there's the possibility that the answer will be yes, that is the way it's going to be.
Here's the other part of it that drives me nuts, because I don't like anybody saying the tournament's not good or whatever. Like, here's what drives me nuts. And Loyola Chicago feels like the last real, like, Cinderella, because that was more recent than Wichita State's run. And then, of course, Wichita State rattled off a bunch of wins. Sister Jean, right?
Oh,
Sister
that, Jean was, reminds that was me. Wonderful. FAU, that's why it reads to you.
FAU felt that way the first time. I'll say that. But then they returned everybody. So those are the couple that I think you look at over the past few years. But even then, you're talking about, like, eight seeds. I don't remember what seed Loyola Chicago was. Here's the reality, though. When push comes to shove and this tournament ends, I'm just looking at the history of it, Paul. To get to the championship game, when you're talking about 39 years of data since we expanded to 64 in 1985, so what is that? 78? So out of 78 potential teams in a national championship, 15 out of 78 times, those seeds have been higher than a three seed. 15 out of 78, they've never been a double-digit seed, ever, ever. If you go on to your eventual national champion, you're talking about out of 39 national champions, right? Out of 39, we're talking 34 of them have been a one, two, or a three seed.
You know, you're making a point that it's only going to get worse. And that, I think you're right.
34 out of 39 times, essentially a top 15 team in the country, right? If you're looking at, you know, 4 times 4, whatever. 34 out of 39 times, basically like a top 15 type team in the country wins the national championship.
And it's going to be out of 39, like, the next 39.
So when I see this stuff, like, oh, Cinderellas are dead, I'm like, were they ever alive to win it? Like, what are we talking about?
You know, that's the nature of Cinderella.
When we say something like
that. But that's the nature of Cinderella. That's why I believe in Cinderella. I've got glass slippers on now.
What do you think a Cinderella is going to do? Like, what do you need from your Cinderella? Just to advance to the Sweet 16? Because that's usually what it is for me.
Yeah, why not? That's good. Why not? Yeah, I think that's a reasonable thought. Advance to the Sweet 16 and give somebody a first-round bye when they play them.
Well, right. I know, right. That's the other part of that. But yes. So do I think we're never going to see like Cinderella's advance to the Sweet 16? No, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, if you want to define, if it's defined by non-power league teams, then Colorado State should have been there anyway. They should have beat Maryland. You see San Diego, who we all loved anyway, who was, what, a 2-point underdog to Michigan in that opening round? Like, if that's a true Cinderella, like,
yeah, I got you.
Come on. And they almost got there despite a really bad start. So, you know, it all depends on how you what you define a Cinderella is. If it really does need to be like teams you haven't really heard of, and I'm okay with that. Like, if it's got to be like a double digit that had no chance to get there if they didn't win their conference tournament, I will. If that's, and that's more of my, by the way, definition of a Cinderella. Like, Drake was not a Cinderella this year. Obviously, Arkansas is not. I didn't, you know, UC San Diego was one of everybody's favorite teams. So McNeese was really good team all year. If you want to, okay, fine. But I'm looking more at like the real, like Yale or, you know, Lipscomb or one of these teams. Sure. That's sort of what I look at. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, no matter how you define it, those teams, they don't ever win championships anyway. So what are you missing out on? I think this is a year to embrace the fact that it feels like anybody's game that's left in the Sweet 16. Duke will be favored in every game they play. Duke feels like a little heavier favorite than the rest. But after that, boy, it feels open to me. Mm. Like wide open. Wide open. Did it feel wide open last year with UConn? No, it felt like a foregone conclusion with UConn. I don't think Duke's that kind of favorite this year, but when you just look at the bracket, I mean, we're talking about Auburn, Michigan, Ole Miss, Michigan State, Florida, Maryland, Tech, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Houston, Purdue, BYU, Alabama, Duke, and Arizona. That's a really good collection of six teams. Those are 16 teams that all feel like they've got a shot, that can all make their case. And here we go. I'm excited about the Sweet 16. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Well, for competitive basketball, man, this is what you're looking for. This is they're in the game. I guarantee you, when you start looking at the lines, that you can make a pick and be comfortable with. It's like a lot of these games, it's going to be basically flipping a coin, and that's the way I think it's supposed to be. But it's still fun to have it the other way. And by the way, in that, you know, revisit with regards to who you got winning this thing, I'm surprised the word Houston didn't mention.
I have winning. Paul, that's my Houston's,
I know,
my team.
But just now you must be reevaluating.
No, I listed all 16 teams just now.
Okay. Well, all 16, but I mean, you didn't put much of an emphasis on Houston. And if I was to ask you who plays better defense from what you've seen, at least from what I've seen in this tournament, who plays better defense, Duke or Houston? Who are you going to say? Because I'm going to say Houston, and I've watched.
I'm always going to say Houston. Okay. Houston's my pick. Like, Houston's been my pick. I've wanted to pick Houston for 3 months. I did. They're there. I was a little nervous about Gonzaga the way they played in the opening round, but Houston's through. Houston's still my pick. I'm not backing off of that. And that would be a Final Four matchup with Duke if they both make it. Mm-hmm. I would say that Houston will have to go through Purdue and then either Kentucky or Tennessee, Duke, Arizona, and either BYU or Alabama. Like all the road, nobody's got an easy road here. Nobody's got an easy path. It's going to be awesome.
It'll be fun.
That'll do it for us on Sports Daily. A lot of fun today. Glad it was here, and glad we made it through the first rounds in Wichita. Glad we had the party that we did, and we'll continue to discuss the tournament as we are on to the Sweet 16. It is opening day for Major League Baseball soon. We got a lot of Royals to talk this week as well, so make sure you're with us for that. We'll have Felix Johnson in tomorrow to talk a little Chiefs. You've got the coaches' shows tonight here for Wichita State on KFH. Brian Green at 6, Christy Breadbinner at 7 o'clock. Appreciate Paul Savage for hopping in today. Good to talk to Paul. Good to get that insight. And we'll be ready to rock and roll the rest of the week. Stick around for us. It's Sports Daily on the Kansas Fan Headquarters KFH. We will see you tomorrow.